So this morning, what I want to share with you, though, is it's the theology of God and the full understanding of Christ in 500 words or less, okay? I wanted to make for us an object lesson, because sometimes we can see in things and through things that it takes volumes, of course, to convey. You know, you know that most Sundays, we, or nearly all the Sundays around the calendar year, we have two candles on the altar. And most of the times, in recent months, we've had them relatively close together. You might remember John's declaration in his first letter as he talks about God. He said, God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. We often have brought the light in, and we've brought it to the candles to be so they may be lit, and that is called the light of Christ, because Christ is the light of the world. But why do we have two candles? Is it just simply for balance? No. In the history of the church, we have two candles because this candle is the candle of transcendence. And this candle is the candle of immanence. Transcendence means outside or above. God is transcendent over the physical realm. He is above and beyond it. He is separate from it. He is holy. The scripture that sometimes people will refer to or think about is the Lord reigns. He is robed in majesty. And then when we think of immanence, it is a nearness. The God who has been far and transcendent comes near. He comes near and he acts upon and he intervenes in creation. He moves and stirs in us. He intervenes in things around us and people around us. The psalmist declared, unless the Lord had given me help, I would soon have dwelt in the silence of death. He's referring to God's imminence, that he has come near and he has helped. Now, on most altars, we normally see these candles separated, symbolizing God's infinity, both his transcendence and his imminence. And it also shows us the different ways, reminds us and symbolically of the different ways that he acts in and around and upon creation. Now, most days anymore, on most altars, we will see not only the two candles, but the cross standing between them. There's a lot of symbolism in that as well. For in the cross, we have the reminder that Christ has come, that Jesus has bridged the chasm between God's transcendence and his immanence. That he's bridged the chasm between he and us, between his holiness and our unholiness. We also often on the altar have scripture sitting on the altar, because we were reminded that God's word, his inspired word that he has given us, is the rule and practice of our faith. In it we see not only the revelation of who God is, we see the revelation of who God says who we are. We're reminded of our identity in him. We're also reminded of our rebellion from him. We're reminded of our redemption through him. So beginning today, the next couple of weeks, I want to invite you to use these symbols to see. To see and perceive the deeper truth that Paul shares with us here in this brief passage in Philippians. It is a hymn from the early church, a hymn that was used to sing about Christ's coming and what it means for us. And actually for us, it is a journey that is symbolized here as we move from here through Christ to God the Father. We do not go that journey alone. When we read in Hebrews, we are told that Christ ushers us into the presence of God. We cannot make the journey ourselves, but He brings us to the Father. So today we begin just with the first verse of this hymn that Paul quotes there in the verse 6. He reminds us that Christ is who, being in the very nature God. This is sometimes referred to as the pre-existence of Christ. That is, He existed before He came. Paul touches on this in his other letter to the Ephesians. We read that a few months ago at the beginning in verse 4, or the first fourth verse there. For He chose us in Him before the creation of the world to be adopted as His sons and daughters. And then in Colossians 1, 15 through 17, Paul provides us this beautiful language about Christ's presence, existence before His coming here. It says, Paul tells us that Christ is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by Him, by Christ, all things were created, and He is before all things, and in Him all things hold together. Christ was there before creation. He was with the Father and worked with the Father in the midst of creation. I remind you again of Genesis 1, where He says something to the like this: let us make humanity in our image, our likeness. What would set Paul's mind to thinking this way? Why would he share this depth? Because he begins with the majesty and the transcendence of God, and he's telling us, let this be your mind. Let your mind be like Christ. Jesus said, God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world. He said, I and the Father are one. And that oneness that Jesus talks about is not one as in a number. It is one as in nature. They're the same kind. So just as God is spirit and eternal, so is Christ. We're reminded of that in that first candle. And we have in the Old Testament, even the psalmist declared this paradox, if you will. The Lord says to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make you enemies, your enemies, a footstool for your feet. The word wonders that Jesus performed, the message He taught, and the verification and validation was given Him by His resurrection are all proof for us that Jesus was both human and divine. It tells us something about his nature. The Greek Orthodox Church, very early on, had a confession that put the Father's and Son's nature and being of essence, of the same essence, this way: as the light which comes from another light does not differ from that which it came. That may be a little tongue-twisted and hard to follow, but anytime we take a candle and light from one candle and light another candle, the light itself does not change. It remains the same. It is the same. But is as full of light as the first. So the Son is true God, coming from the true God. Our Nicene Creed that we just read and confessed together confesses that he is God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, being of one being with the Father. And that's the way it was before creation. You know, it's... Sometimes when we emphasize such a truth as this, it may seem a little forced, a little inane, a little arcane, or whatever word you want to place there that seems to get at saying, okay, I get it, Brian, and I want to ask, well, do we really get it? See, this belief, this understanding of who Jesus is and our faith being in him makes us Christians very odd in the world. Because when you look at every other religion in the world, it is their attempt to climb the ladder or to somehow achieve some way of being. Whereas our confession is that Jesus came, God came from transcendence to be one of us. And in doing so, made the way possible for us to have fellowship with God. Sometimes when we try to convey deep, meaningful truth, we turn to music and we turn to lyrics. Because there's something about music, isn't it? It touches on the hearts. I had a step-grandfather-in-law who was a retired Methodist pastor, and Elton Wyatt was his name, and it didn't matter. You knew Elton was coming two blocks away in the middle of the day, because why? You could hear him whistling a tune, and the tune would be a hymn, or he would even be singing that hymn. Fortunately, Elton had a good sense of, he had a good musical ear, so it was in key. That was nice, but the music was his instrument of declaring his faith and living his faith. And it was just the outworking of his soul. And that's what it is to us. I mean, so many times if you're like me, you think you're just going through your day, and it may be a hymn, it may be a chorus, comes to mind. And often that is the Spirit speaking to us in songs and spiritual songs that Paul talks about in another letter. And as we sing songs and hymns and conveying these deeper truths, we're reminded that he's reaching out to you and to me. And it's not only those things, as we began this service, this time in the message with these symbols, that there's objects and images that likewise can be a window through which we perceive a deeper reality. Now, if our focus is on just these, that can become idolatry, because you begin to think that's God. But if you're looking through them more deeply into their meaning, and you begin to perceive God, that is worship. And that's what we do, especially in this time of the year, and especially at Easter. We have all sorts of images that remind us of who God is and what He's done. So today, as we begin, have already begun this Advent season, and for the next 2 Sundays after this, I just want to take a little different approach to Advent. I think for a richer time, a time in which we experience God maybe in a new and meaningful way, I want to invite you to do 3 things. First, ask the Holy Spirit to reveal Christ to you. That during this season, you see Him. You come to know Him in a deeper, meaningful way. Secondly, that you read this passage. Do so daily. I mean, it's very brief. I have it in my day timer on a 3x5 card. That's small enough that you can keep in your pocket. Just that passage, just those few short verses, read them. Third, as you read them, remember these symbols. Recall them. Recall some of their meaning as you think about that. Think of where what Paul is describing here, where Christ has come from to us. What it means for Him to come to us. And in preparation for next Sunday, I invite you to ask the Spirit to show you personally in a deeper, more profound way, what it means for the cross to be between those 2 candles. I believe that, you know, sometimes we get kind of caught and stuck in the teaching of facts. And maybe as we begin to see things with these symbols, as we begin to reflect on them and what they mean for us, it gives the Spirit room to touch us in a profound way.